Father, I thank you for every son and daughter in this room. Father, thank you that the way you designed it is that we're your children. That we are in your family, Lord. That we are sons and daughters of God. And Holy Spirit, thank you that you chose to live inside of us. Not to come and go, but to live there. So I thank you that you're inside of every person in this room. So I thank you that you are present, that you are here. And the Bible tells us that you are the great teacher, that you teach us all things and guide us into all the truth. And so what we want to do tonight is cooperate with your teaching ministry so that we can learn from you, that you will make light bulbs go off in our mind, that we will understand things, that we will see things we've never seen before. So we just welcome your ministry in here in whatever way you see fit. And just everybody, I would just invite you to just make that same statement to him in your heart. Just, you know, just welcome him to teach you whatever he wants you to learn. And so Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. You have reign in this room. I thank you for this topic of healing that we get to talk about. And we look forward to seeing lots of healings. In Jesus' name, amen. So healing, it's a big deal. Big deal to me. I think everybody in here knows my story and has heard it multiple times. But I'm going to tell it again because I love it. My wife was sick with two incurable conditions, fibromyalgia and RSD. And she ended up in a wheelchair and had lost use of both arms. There's no cure for the conditions, even though we had gone to different doctors that found ways to help manage her symptoms. We were at Duke Pain Clinic. We were at other places. Then one day, I got invited to a Bible study where my now friend Bill Alsop was teaching. And I told him a little bit of what was going on. He invited us over to his house. We went over there. He and his wife prayed for my wife. And I saw her get completely healed in 10 seconds. And by the way, while she was getting healed, I got baptized with the Holy Spirit at the same time. So that was a crazy night. Yes. And I remember driving home that night, and I was thinking, where am I? What is going on? Honestly, the feeling was like I had just done cartwheels out of an airplane. Like I didn't know which way was up. And the way I described this later was my world got turned right side up. Because I have been a Christian my whole life. And here I am, 36 years old, and I've never seen any of these things happen. I've never seen anybody get healed. And I saw it. And we went back to her doctor and he examined her. And he gave me a sheet of paper that says miraculously resolved that I have at home. And I carry on me a lot of times. Miraculously resolved from the doctor. And so my wife went from not being able to walk and not being able to hold a fork in her hand to now she can do handstand push-ups, which I can't even do, which is embarrassing. Or she goes to a gym class and she'll say, Neil, we did 600 lunges today. And then ran and do all this stuff. And I'm like, wow. Because I used to remember trying to help her up the stairs. Right? And so every day I'm reminded that healing is real. Every time I look at my wife, I know healing is real. Now, when I first came across this, I thought there was like people that were gifted in healing. And so I was like the Pied Piper. Everybody I could find that would listen to me, I would tell them, God healed my wife. And they would always go, well, who was it? And I would tell them who it was. And they'd say, well, my cousin. Can we take my cousin over to his house? And so I would call Bill and we would take a caravan over to his house and we would watch people get healed. And I saw that over and over. And it was like pouring gasoline on a fire. I could not stand myself. I was so happy. And But I was having trouble with the idea. I thought it was just certain individuals. And so I went off on my own and started doing my own studies, trying to learn about this, because I had a burning desire in me to see people get healed, but I didn't know what to do about it. Okay? And so I went through a journey of learning about healing and learning some different... I hate formulas. I hate them. Okay? And I don't teach formulas. But there are principles that you can count on in the Bible. And so I spent my time looking for principles. What can I count on that it's always true? Jesus is Lord. That's always true. That's an example. So hopefully my intent in this series on healing is I want to bring a lot of those principles to you. Because since I started, I prayed for a good many people before I started seeing any kind of healings happen. And you learn things while you're doing it that you can't learn from reading it in a book. You know that in any part of your life. When you're learning to drive a car, you can read books about driving a car, but until you do it, there's a lot of stuff you don't understand yet. Just as an aside, that's why it's so important to me that we have ministry time at the end where people can do what they're learning and go for it. And in here, nobody is an expert, so we're all learning together. And that's very important to me. So anyway, there are some principles I learned, and I'm going to be going through those through this series. I also want to share about some different experiences I had where things went very well and some things that didn't go very well. Because one thing I did find out is healing is war. Healing is war. It's an act of war against the kingdom of darkness. There is a war going on between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And the weapons of the kingdom of darkness are sickness and deception and manipulation and fear and intimidation and religious tradition. But the weapons of our kingdom, the kingdom of God, is setting people free from whatever they're stuck in, preaching the gospel to get people out of condemnation and being afraid that God's trying to get them, or praying for people that are under demonic oppression, setting them free from demons. And we're probably going to get into some of that in this class too, because it's hard to talk about healing without that coming in there. And then healing the sick. Because we know in the kingdom of heaven where God, if you want to think about a place where God lives, even though he's everywhere, nobody in heaven is sick. Right? We don't think about someday we go to heaven and we need a walker. Right? There's health in God's kingdom. And so health is a sign of the kingdom in front of you. And so when Jesus would say things like, the kingdom is near, or when I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come upon you, that when he's healing people, he's showing them what heaven's like. And not only that, he's showing them what God the Father is like. Because our God is a healing God. And so through this series, I want to take different people I have experience with that have had a journey somewhat similar to mine and get them to share some of their testimony on this, about some things they learned when they were first getting started. So the first person I've roped into doing this, but she agreed willingly, is Susan. So y'all give Susan a hand. She's going to come up and share a little bit of her story. Thank you, Susan.
Hey, what an honor. So thank you, Neil, for allowing me the opportunity to share. So I was getting my time right. So I think it was like 3.5 years ago in the fall, I had heard Neil and Teresa's story. And I have been a Christian for my whole life, and I grew up and I knew that the Bible was true, but I also hadn't seen people be healed. I knew that it was true, but I was like in awe, like, oh my God, I saw them, it really worked. And Brian had said to the congregation that Neil was going to do a spiritual living class on Wednesdays, and I was like, I am there. So I started going, and there was probably 4 or 5 classes from October through December. And so a little bit about that time, Brittany, my daughter, was a freshman in college at that time, and at Christmas time, we had decided to go on another mission trip. So I love how God takes where Satan meant for something to be really hard and difficult in your life, and he turns it around to be really good. So holidays are really hard for me and Brittany. And so her senior year, I just got the idea. I was like, Brittany, what do you think about us doing a mission trip? No presents. No presents. We're going to go on a mission trip. And she was like, yeah, that's great. Until I got the palm tree and the suitcases. And she's like, we're really not doing presents. I'm like, we're really not doing presents. And we went on our mission trip the first year. We left the day after Christmas. And we went to an orphanage in Jamaica. Yeah. And that week we served. And spent time at an orphanage. We spent time at a hospital there. And we spent time at a mental ward. And we prayed for people. And I didn't see anything happen. So that was year one. Year two, we're coming back, and Brittany's like, Mom, you know what? It was okay you didn't do presents. I want to go back on the mission trip. And I was like, that's great. Sign us up. So we're back on the mission trip. And then I hear about this class. So I'm coming to the class, and I'm starting to learn that what happened in the Bible was for us today. And you don't have to be a super special person, pastor or something, to do this. And so Neil would encourage us to go home and read in the Bible what Jesus did. And so I took down the scriptures and I would read what Jesus did, what he said, and then what happened. And Neil would say it happened 100% of the time every person got healed. And I was like, really? And so I went and I did it. And I was like, oh my God, it worked 100% of the time. And so I was getting excited. I was like, oh, I know I'm going to get an opportunity. Like, it's coming. Like, Jamaica is coming and I'm ready. And I told Brittany, I was like, you have to come whenever you get done with your exams and go. There was one last class before Jamaica. And she came on a Wednesday night, and I was like, and you need your baptism of the Holy Spirit. So she came that night, and she went up front. They prayed for her to get the baptism, and then we left that Monday to go to Jamaica. And so she's hearing this. She saw that night. Her eyes are big. And I said, we're going to try it. So we get to Jamaica, and we have lots of opportunities. And so a couple of the experiences I'll talk about, there was a hospital, and their hospitals are very different than ours. So it's a ward. Women can only go in the women's ward. So Brittany and I go in the women's ward, and this is our second year there. So we knew we were going to bring Bibles to share with the women. And it's open, so you have just rows of beds, and everybody can see everybody. So we go around, and we start asking some of the women if they want prayer. And they're like, they're always open. They say yes. So we start praying for people, and we didn't see anything, the first two women. And then we get to a lady that is lying flat on her back, and she tells us she has a blood disorder and she can't move. And they're like, my heart's heavy. This is the day after Christmas. So they should be home with their families. And so I just asked if we could pray for her. And we laid our hands, and we just commanded the sickness to go, for her to be well. And all of a sudden, she shuts up out of bed. She goes, I can move my upper body. I can move my arms. And Brittany and I are like, really? Like, our eyes are really big. We're like, really? And she goes, yes. And I said, what about your leg? And she goes, nope, nothing. I said, well, can I pray again? Because I learned in the class you can pray more than one time. So I was like, can I pray again? And she was like, yes. So I put my hands on her legs, and I'm commanding everything to work, and she jumps out of bed. And she goes, I'm going home. And then I turn around, and Brittany turns around, and we're high-fiving each other. Like, we're like, oh my God, this stuff really works. And we turn around, and every woman has their hand raised. And I start to weep. And I'm like, this is what it felt like whenever Jesus was here. Because how many crowds that came to him that were desperate. And so they were all raising their hands. And so we went around, and Brittany, the next lady, she was going to have gallbladder surgery. And Brittany puts her hand right where she says, and I don't know if that's where your gallbladder is, but put her hand right there. And Brittany's like, Mom, my hand is so hot. And the lady goes, my gallbladder's on fire. And I'm like, well, I'm going to take that sign and heal. So we just keep going around and praying for people, and people are experiencing great things. And as we're leaving, there was a man. So I met this man the year prior, and he was in a wheelchair. And in Jamaica, where we were at, it was just a very hilly country and no running water where we were at. And you're in a wheelchair and you're in the hospital because your family can't take care of you. And really, there's not that. You shouldn't be in hospital. just being in the wheelchair. So my heart, and he said he's been there 7 years, and my heart was just so heavy. And so Brittany and I start praying for him and praying for his legs, and he's like, I feel electricity. And I'm like, what? I think that might be good. I don't know, but that's awesome. And then all of a sudden, like, Brittany and I, our hands start shaking. And I'm, like, looking at Brittany and my hands shaking like this, and I don't know what that's about. And so I start writing a list. I said, I have a lot to ask Neil and Brian whenever we get back. A lot to ask Neil and Brian. So we go, and we're with the group, and the group is coming out, and a couple of the teenagers say, Miss Susan, do you have magic? And I was like, oh, no, I don't have magic. I have the Holy Spirit, and he is great.
That's awesome.
The Holy Spirit. So people were noticing, people were getting out of their beds, and people were getting up and doing well. So immediately, and the same afternoon, then we went to a mental ward, and that's how I would describe it. And whenever we come into that room, there's a man with a cane, and he's slumped over. And, like, I'm on fire then. Like, I've seen so much. I'm like, oh, this is good. And so we asked if we could pray for him. And we pray for his shoulder. And he's like, oh, yeah, my shoulder's it's really working well. And I said, what about your leg? And Brittany's right behind him. He's like, no, my leg's not well. And so I pray for his leg. And then all of a sudden, I take his cane and I back up. And I say, get up and walk. And then Brittany's like, oh, my God, looking at me. He's like, catch him if you fall. And he gets up and he starts walking up and down that aisle.
Awesome.
And I'm like, that's not me to tell someone to get up and walk. But that is, I mean, just the Holy Spirit comes on you. And we had an opportunity to pray for lots of people there. And then the last group, the girls, the teenage girls say, Miss Susan, come pray for this man. So I come over and he's blind. And I'm like, oh, Jesus healed blind people. Oh, I want to heal someone. Because they're going to. I want to do this. So, and his eyes are all white. And I put my hands over his eyes, and I just pray that he'll be able to see. And then I lift my hands up, and he's like, no, I can't see anything. So I do it again. And he says, no, I can't even see anything. And I was like, well, can I pray again? And he's like, yeah. So I pray again. And at the time I'm praying, God shows me a vision of a storehouse in heaven with all these body parts. And I'm just like, I'm going to get him a new pair of eyes. So I start saying, you're going to get a brand new pair of eyes in Jesus' name. And I can feel his eyelashes like fluttering underneath my hand. And I'm praying, and I see all the girls' face. And I'm just like, the girls are looking at me like, what? And I can't believe that just came out of my mouth and all that. And so I lift my hands off of his eyes. And he doesn't move. And all the girls say, you killed him! I mean, because he doesn't move. And all of a sudden, you see his chest rise, but he doesn't wake up. And I have no idea. Like, we left. He never woke up. He was in perfect peace. I'm believing he got this new set of eyes. I don't know. But he never woke up. So that was interesting. And I just had to leave that like it was. But I do want to see blind people get their eyesight. Mm-hmm. And as we were leaving there, and we came back the next week, I called Neil and Brian and said, I have a lot of questions to ask because we had a lot of experiences. So I remember meeting with them and saying, you know, is it normal whenever you're praying for someone that you feel heat? Yes, that's normal. Oh, that's good, because I didn't know if it was demonic or not. Like, I really did not know. It didn't feel bad whenever it was happening to me. Is electricity normal whenever you feel electricity in your body? Yep, that's normal. I'm like, well, that's good. Is shaking normal? Yes, that's just the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm like, well, that's good. That eases my mind. And then I'm like, well, has anybody ever said anything about a storehouse? Because I'm seeing all these body parts, and they're like, yes, storehouses are in heaven. And if God showed you that, then there's other people that have seen that, and you get it. Like, you listen to the Holy Spirit. So it was just an incredible opportunity. And so my experience is, like, I got to experience it, like, head on. Like, a few classes, and I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip to experience it. And so Brittany and I were on a really big high after that. And then as you re-enter a normal world, you know, that can be hard whenever you go from that really big high and you re-enter. And I remember Brittany calling me mid-January, and she was in tears, and she was like, I feel like I'm not living for God. Like, I've done seen all this stuff, and now I'm in college, and what do I do? And I'm just like, Brittany, I said, you're where you're supposed to be. You just need to ask the Holy Spirit, you know, who do you want me to love on today? Because there's so many people that need love. And she had an incredible encounter with a homeless man that she can share at another time, but just an incredible encounter. And I learned for myself, because I have a job, like, I'm not a pat, like, I have a job, and I would just learn to say, I learned that the Holy Spirit's my best friend, so I don't call my best friend like Neil Weasler or your first and last name, and I only call Brittany Pettengill if she's in trouble. So I have nicknames for her. And I said, "The Holy Spirit," I said, "I don't understand the relationship I'm supposed to have with you, but I know you're supposed to be my best friend." So I said, "Can I call you Holy?" Like, I have nicknames around my friends. And I heard him just say, "Yeah, that's okay." So how I wake up every day, he was like, "Yeah," and he is my best friend, and I hear him very loudly talking to me, and I'll just say, "Holy, what are you up to today? Use me. I'm available. I don't want to miss an opportunity to love on someone, and if that means praying for them or a word of encouragement or whatever it is, use me. I'm available." And just having that attitude, I've been able to pray for lots of people in my workplace, like Neil prays for people in his workplace. He'll use you in lots of different ways. But experiencing what I experienced, I'm glad that I had some good mentors to come back to for the physical experiences I was experiencing, and to know that that was okay and normal, and just the visions and the thoughts that I had and words of knowledge, it was just really encouraging. So we're very blessed to have Neil continue to teach us, because there's so much more to learn. But does anybody have any questions? Because I'm no questions are bad questions.
Was there anyone left in the hospital when you left?
not many on the women's side, but I wasn't able to go to the men's side, except for the guy in the wheelchair. I did pray for him.
I have to find out something. I have prayed with people or told somebody for their shoulder, but I don't know how to start. That's my big thing. You know, I know I want to just, you know, ask if I can touch their shoulder or whatever. But how do you start that?
That is a great question. I'll typically, so let's say it was Bob, I'll say, if I knew his shoulder was turning, I'd say, "Bob, you know, it is turning." So we all right, so we didn't actually pray for Bob right here. Right? So I'll say, "Bob, is your shoulder hurting?"
Yes.
So on a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being the worst pain you could experience and 0 being no pain, what's your pain level right now?
About 5.
About a 5. And do you mind if I put my hand on your shoulder and pray for you? So right now, in the name of Jesus, I command your shoulder to get in proper kingdom health and alignment right now. I command all pain to go right now. I command all inflammation and swelling right now to go in the name of Jesus. And Bob, from that, you were a 5 before. Where's your pain level now? And just be honest. Like,
well, I don't know yet. I'll cheat.
You don't know? Does it feel any better?
Well, it's not. Well, it actually doesn't feel anything better.
Okay, so that's right.
So it went from 5 to 0?
5 to 0.
That's pretty good.
And I just asked. And if he would have said it's a 5 or a 3, I would say, "Can I pray again? Because I want it to get to a 0. Jesus paid for a complete healing. And we get to go, I believe that. I believe he loves you. He does not want your shoulder to be hurt. That is not kingdom living. And so I would pray again. And then as many times as they would let me, I would keep praying. So I don't give up, but it's easy like that. So, and if they'll say, "No, I don't want you to touch me," then I won't. And sometimes, like, I didn't feel any heat that time whenever I was praying, but sometimes I will. Like, my hands, my nickname is Hot Hands, so I'll get really, really hot hands, like on fire hands sometimes whenever I pray for people, but not always. Sometimes in a setting, like, my neck might start hurting, and I'll be like, "My neck doesn't hurt," and then I'll know that someone's neck here is bothering them, and if I step out in faith and say it out loud, then God's here, and the Holy Spirit's here to heal them. So God teaches you in the way that he wired you up. So he doesn't teach us all the same way. Mm-hmm. He'll just teach you the way he's wired you up. Yeah, it's just really, it's really easy. And some people will say no. Speaking to your drive-by healing, if I says no, I'll say, "In Jesus' name, shoulder get healed." And I'll just walk away. I'll just command the shoulder to be healed, and he won't even know. Like, he won't even know that I pray for him. So there's many of the times that Jesus prayed for people, and he wasn't present, and they were healed. So I just believe it, and I'm just going to do it. And I've learned, because sometimes you'll leave, and maybe nothing's happened. And so I've learned that I just need to be available. It's all the Holy Spirit that's going to do it. So I'm available, and I believe every time we pray, something happens in the spirit realm. Something happens every time.
Have you prayed for my brother?
But something happens every time in the spirit realm. So I just learned it's not my ability, but availability. So it takes the pressure off of me to it's not a performance. Like Neil said, it's not a performance. I'm just available. And now that I hear the Holy Spirit and I know some physical things, like whenever I feel Him on me or a sign or a symptom, I am so excited I can hardly stand to pray for someone because I know they're going to get healed because that's how He speaks to me. So you just build your confidence, that's all. You just build your confidence. Mm-hmm. Does anybody else have a question?
Yeah. Some of the things you pray for is for you to pray for people, even if they're not saved, they don't believe, they just put their faith in God and use that as a language to listen to that.
Yeah, so in the Bible, in the New Testament, whenever Jesus was here on earth and praying for everyone, no one was a Christian because He hadn't died yet. So He healed all non-Christians. So you don't have to be a Christian to be saved. I mean, to be healed. And I feel like He loves people into the kingdom. I mean, that's what He did. He loved people where they were at. And in miraculous ways showed up and they experienced the power of love in the kingdom of heaven. So, no, they don't have to be a Christian at all to be healed, which is awesome as well. So, that's a great question, though. Anybody else?
Because you probably weren't going around in the hospital asking if they were a Christian before you prayed for them.
No.
Right.
I just knew God would show up.
Yeah.
If they wanted prayer, I knew, I believed it, and I knew, I just had great faith that we were going to experience it. And they were hungry, like we were just in a setting that people were hungry for that as well. Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Susan. That's awesome. Man. Got me fired up now. Yes.
Could you possibly tell me where in the Bible I could find some of these about healing? Anything?
Yeah, so here's the something I like to do, is go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. Those are all in a row, and that's the beginning of the New Testament. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all stories about Jesus.
Yeah.
And then Acts is the story about his followers. Okay? Yeah, it's great. And so, what I would do is, if I'm studying healing, I'll just start reading through, and I'll just skip down to where there's someone that's sick or something like that, and I'll read that, and I'll just start asking myself questions or imagining what it looked like to be there. And when you're reading the Bible, something you should always do is ask the Holy Spirit to show you stuff in there, and He will. And you'll be like, I mean, really, it's really awesome.
I need to do that.
Yeah, because it's like He's your tutor. Yeah, and He will do that. He will do that. So just skip through the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and just skip to where there's healings. Now, if you have, if you're pretty good on the internet, if you go, I have a blog called Born of Spirit. Let me write this up here. Born of Spirit.net. If you go on there and go under I have a healing tab. If you click on healing or heal the sick, I have a Bible study in there that you can print out, and it lists all the healings in the. It lists the verses, and then it has some questions you can ask yourself about them as you read them.
Put that in.
Put this in bornofspirit.net, and then go to the healing page on there, and you'll see a Bible study. It says every healing in the New Testament, and it's a Bible study.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I made that because when I went through something like that myself, it was very eye-opening because you see patterns, and that helps me identify principles. Like, for example, I never saw Jesus blame the sick people. He never told the sick people they didn't have enough faith. Right? That's something I learned from doing that. And so I will never say that to somebody. Because if I say that, I'm not representing Jesus. You see what I'm saying? So you learn cool things by going through there.
That's good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you for asking that. And I forgot to get an eraser. All right, so what I want to do tonight is go through the very first healing in the Bible. The very first time a healing happened in the Bible. And that's as far as I've been able to figure out, it's in Genesis chapter 20. So if you'll turn there, Genesis chapter 20, that's at the near the very beginning of your Bible. And we're going to read a story that's kind of disturbing. Genesis 20, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. It says, "And Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Now Abraham said of his wife, Sarah, he said that she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah." Now let me pause there because they don't expound on this very much, because a similar story happened back in Genesis chapter 12 or 13, where Abraham is traveling around and he's got his wife with him, and they go to Egypt. And in this one, it gives more detail when he goes to Egypt. He tells his wife, Sarah, because evidently she's very beautiful. And he says, if we come in here and they see how beautiful you are, they're going to kill me and take you. So will you just do me a favor and just tell them I'm your brother? They're still going to take you, but at least they won't kill me. Seriously. And so they go to Egypt, and she does that. And sure enough, they take her. And then God sends a plague on Pharaoh and says, you better let her go. And so Pharaoh lets her go, and Abraham and her leave and go on to the next place. So this is a repeat of something that's already happened. So Abraham is asking his wife to lie and say that she's his sister instead of his wife, so that they won't kill Abraham when they take his wife. Okay. Like I said, it's a little bit disturbing. I'm going to read verse 2 again. "Now Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, indeed, you are a dead man, because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Didn't she say to me, didn't he tell me that she was his sister? And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this." Now, just forget about the idea that just taking some woman is innocence. That's not innocent. That's just letting you know the culture here. Right? It's just a messed up time. Verse 6, "And God said to him in a dream, yes, I know you did this in the integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. So Abimelech rose early in the morning, called his servants, and told all these things in their hearing. And these men were very much afraid. And Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? How have I offended you that you have brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done. Then Abimelech said to Abraham, what did you have in view when you have done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will kill me on account of my wife. But indeed, she truly is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. So Abraham is married to his half-sister. So he's not really lying, but he is lying.
He's half lying.
Right. So that makes it okay if you're just half lying, I guess. Yeah. Yeah. 13, yeah. "And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, this is your kindness that you should do for me. In every place, wherever we go, say of me, he is my brother." So this is a pattern, I guess. Sometimes it helps to put flesh and blood on these people in the Bible, because they are messed up just like, you know what I'm saying? Nobody's doing it right.
These guys didn't even have the law yet.
They didn't have the law yet, so we can cut them some slack, but still, this is not, anyway. So Abimelech took sheep, oxen, male and female servants, and gave them to Abraham, and he restored Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, "See, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you." Then to Sarah he said, "Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Indeed, this vindicates you before all who are with you and before everybody." Thus she was rebuked. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants, and then they bore children. For the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. That is a crazy story, isn't it?
Yeah. So she got 1,000 pieces of silver and was rebuked.
Yes.
Wow. She did all right.
So let me get your reaction to this story. What are some thoughts going through your head right now? Some questions you have or some comments you'd like to make? Anybody?
I would have done it.
You would have done what?
I would have said he's my brother. He wouldn't be killed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. What else?
God is good.
Right. Despite all of that, he's faithful. What do you mean by that? He healed and kept his promise. That's right. In spite of all these people not doing it right. That's right. That's right. And that is true. That's true about God. He is good. Healing always reflects on the goodness of God, not on the goodness of the one praying or the goodness of the one that needs to be healed. That's something to always remember, because that messes up a lot of people. Like when you're going to pray for someone, sometimes they'll be wanting to tell you how much they go to church and stuff like that, or something. Or if God heals me, then this is going to be a great testimony. Kind of like, I deserve it or something. Now, I know they wouldn't come out and say that. But when you're doing that, you're on the wrong track, because God's not going to heal us because we're acting right. God heals you because he's awesome. Right? Everybody got that? So sometimes it's easier to let people know when you're about to pray for them. And I'll even say this. I'll say, "I'm about to pray for you, and you don't have to do anything. You don't even have to believe if you don't want to." I've said that to people, because I want to take all the performance out of it.
We don't need to bring this up now, but at some point in the series, I keep getting hit by that story that happened to me. When you remember when I went over to my friend's house and that whole thing. So we don't need to get into that now, but at some point maybe to kind of...
Yeah, that, I think that's right. I think that's great.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, we will do that. Yeah. Well, yes?
Yeah. Well, out of Abimelech's obedience to God, mm-hmm. then he blessed all the women who were barren and they were now able to have children. So, you know, it wasn't that... You know, as you're saying, it's not out of what you do, but still, because of his obedience.
That's a great point. So sometimes God's going to give you instructions that lead to a godly outcome. And if you don't follow those instructions, then you can't expect that outcome, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you remember when Jesus made the mud pies and put them in the blind man's eyes? And then he said, "Go." The guy was blind. And when Jesus was going to minister to him, he spit in the ground and made mud and put it in the man's eyes and told him to go wash in the pool. Mm-hmm. Everybody familiar with this story? Well, what if he doesn't go wash in the pool? You don't get it.
You
got to walk away with dirty blind eyes. Now, going and washing in the pool is not earning or deserving. It's just following directions.
He could have said that,
and he would have got He could have disobeyed and gotten a different outcome. So when my wife Teresa was healed, when Bill was praying for her, the Lord showed him a vision of her touching these mailboxes in his neighborhood. So he told her to go out his front door. Teresa could walk about 50 feet or so. And he took her to his front door and he told her to walk through his neighborhood and touch these mailboxes and come back. It was the Lord was showing him the directions on how to work this out. That doesn't mean touching mailboxes heals fibromyalgia. It just means that's what God was doing that night. And so Teresa had a choice. She could go follow the directions and get God's result or not. But she doesn't, like, I admire her faith because she just went for it even though she couldn't do it. Right? I mean, I can't even say the respect I have for that. And so following the directions takes faith, but that is not earning something. That's one thing we have to be very clear on. Nobody deserves to be healed. And nobody deserves to pray for people to be healed. And thank God that deserving it is not in the equation. It's not in there. So don't bring it in there. What other comments do you have on this story? Yes, or questions? Yeah.
Like, he was so impressed by that dream that it was from God. So I better follow directions.
Yeah, so she's saying it's very cool how God can talk to you in dreams and how important that can be sometimes. And God does talk to us in dreams. Any stories you see in the Bible of God interacting with people, that's available to you too. See, that's one thing that changed when my wife got healed and I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. I stopped reading this like a history book. And I started looking at it as like a manual. Like showing me things that are available to God's children, the people that are in relationship with God, rather than a bunch of stories. Which, I mean, I love the stories. But I like to know that I can be in a situation and God can tell me the answer. And that's available to me. And God spoke to Abimelech, and Abimelech wasn't acting right. And Abraham wasn't acting right. What other comments? Good comments so far. Yeah, that's a good point. Yes. So she was making the point that in this story, a lot of people got blessed just because of that one man being obedient. And she was kind of making the point to where when we go out and do things in the name of Jesus like that, even if there may be people that see that or hear about it, and that will be a blessing to them too in a similar way. Kind of like that's how, like my friend at work, I would come in and tell him those stories, and it ended up being a blessing to him, and then he starts learning about it, and then his wife gets healed. Right. I love it. You know, sometimes it's hard for me to believe I get to do this, but I believe it. But man, this is really, really great. Other points anyone wants to bring out for this story?
God brought the disease here. Jesus never did that in the New Testament.
Right. Why do you think that is?
We're under a new covenant.
We're under a new covenant. God doesn't bring disease in the new covenant. Now, there wasn't a covenant in effect here, and it preceded the old covenant. It preceded the law. Because back in Genesis chapter 12, God made a covenant with Abraham. When I start saying this, you're going to recognize it immediately. He made him some promises. One of the promises was, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Meaning that if someone messes with you, then they're messing with me. Basically, is the promise God made to Abraham. Now, when you go back and read that covenant, it's very similar to the new covenant that we're under in this way. There weren't any behavior requirements in that covenant. God just said, here's how it's going to be. If someone blesses you, I'm going to bless them. And if someone curses you, then they're going to be cursed. And he didn't say, as long as you act right. Right?
We do have to believe.
So in this story, God is keeping his promise to Abraham. Someone's messing with Abraham, and that's what brings the curse. Right? So that just shows that God's faithful to his promise.
But even here, Abraham believed unto God, and so received righteousness. And it's the same for us. By faith you have been saved. By grace you have been saved through faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that not of your own, is a gift from God.
Yes.
So even the faith that we exercise is a gift from God.
Absolutely. Yes. Susan, yes. Can you speak up?
Another thing about faith, when Susan was sharing, when you're praying for someone, you have the faith. You believe, even if they don't have the faith, you're an unbeliever. That doesn't matter. It's your faith you're praying, right?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm just going to kind of repeat what you said. This is something we're going to cover over and over. But Jesus, and this, he's the example. He's the greatest example of someone healing and someone doing God's will. He never put faith requirements on the people he was ministering to. Now, there were people that came to him and he would compliment them on their faith. And he would say, sometimes your faith has made you well, which lets us know that's possible. It's possible to get healed off of your own faith. But sometimes Jesus prayed for people that didn't believe and they got healed because Jesus believed. And there are several stories like that, and Susan was alluding to a couple of them, but where someone was sick at home and their parent came to Jesus. And Jesus healed them across town, and there's no indication that the person at home believed anything. And there was anytime he raised somebody from the dead, you know they weren't believing. Right? So it is biblical to have, that you can have faith for someone else. Right? And so that's a principle that I found in the Bible that I really grasped onto. That I don't want to put requirements on the person I'm praying for. Because there don't need to be any requirements there. I'm supposed to act like Jesus the best I can. And so that is a Jesus way of acting, not putting requirements on the person. Yes?
I think of it as a contractual agreement.
You think of, can you speak up?
I think of this as a contractual agreement under that covenant. And so it's even beyond my own faith. It's already contracted.
So she thinks of it as a contractual agreement that's already in effect. And that is something that we're going to get into in great detail later. But correct me if I'm misquoting you. But part of the thing that Jesus accomplished when he died on the cross and took the beating before the cross was that he paid for our healing. He carried our sickness and bore our diseases. And so when I'm praying for people, my faith is not trying to get God to do something he doesn't want to do. My faith is believing that God wants to do it because he does. And that really changes the dynamic and changes your confidence level. And confidence is a big part of faith. Confidence is a huge part of faith. So I would say at least 50% of this series that I'm doing is going to be spent trying to convince us all from every angle that I know how to, that healing is God's will. Because once we have that settled, you're a long way. You've eliminated a lot of the double-mindedness you have when you're standing in front of someone that needs prayer. Because you never have to wonder whether it's God's will or not. If it is indeed true that it's always His will, which I believe it is. Okay? That just really, of all the things I've learned, I would say that is near the very top of the list of things that help me. Is coming to grips with, or getting my own understanding that I agree with, of what is God's will in healing. Does He want to heal people sometimes, or never, or always? And I believe it's always. And so that's where I'm going to be coming from when I get there. All right, I want to point out a couple of other things in this story. And we've alluded to most of this already. But the first one is, God works healing through people. Because God didn't heal them until Abraham prayed. Okay? It wasn't that Abimelech kept the instructions and then God said, okay. He worked through Abraham to minister the healing. And this is God's pattern all the way through the Bible. That God loves to do things through us. We're left here to be His hands and feet. Yes, that's a great point. And so you can see Jesus reflecting the Father's attitude, like the Father wants to use people. And when Jesus was on the earth in human form, training His disciples, the things that made Him the most excited was when people would go out and do what He said and they would see things happen. It says He would rejoice. Because these people who hardly knew what they were doing were casting out demons. And I'm referring to the story in Luke 10. He was very excited. And He even says, Father, You have taken these things and revealed them to babes. Meaning like these people have no experience and they're already getting to see Your power. And so God uses people. That's the first point I want to make. The next point is very closely related. God uses flawed people. Flawed. Or imperfect. God uses people that are messed up. The people in this town would not have even needed healing in the first place if Abraham and Sarah weren't in their line. So Abraham is the cause of the entire problem. And he is the one that God used to do the first healing in the Bible. What do you think about that? Don't be sorry for being excited, because I am too. Right.
So when you recognize that God uses flawed people, well, I'm flawed, but He still uses me because I'm available. It's a breakthrough. You can just shut the enemy up.
You can.
When it comes at you, like, you haven't done this or that. And it's like, exactly. I'm a perfect candidate.
Correct. That's exactly right. If you don't deserve to do it, then that means you get to do it. That you're qualified. Yes, me too. I'm with you. You know what? If God didn't use flawed people, there wouldn't be anybody to pick from. That's all there is. So if you don't know what you're doing and you don't deserve it, then you are ready. I'm being serious. Because some... So, will you say that, please? Say that.
It's the only way he gets the glory. It's not because of us, it's because of his grace. And
that is so...
That's the root.
Yes.
It's not us.
It is not us, and we don't deserve it, and it reflects on God's glory. That's why we have to stay miles away from the idea that I can't do it because I'm not good enough, or I can't be healed because I've sinned too much. Right. Yes. Amen. What do you mean, how does he let us know?
Well, I mean, how do I walk up to somebody that I know is something's wrong with them? And, like, you know, yeah, you don't know. You know, and what about they say?
Well, I'm not sure I understand the question. What's the question? Okay.
Yeah.
So let me, that's something I struggled with for a while. And so finally I decided that I'm just going to pray for anybody. And I'll just learn as I go. And if I pray for them and I don't see anything happen, my goal is when I walk away, they know that God loves them. Right? So when I'm going to go minister to somebody, I'm trying to show them how much God loves them. And if I don't see their body get well right there, I'm at least letting them know God loves them.
I think you could do it like this. I mean, I used to be shy on my door. But my vision is to go to people and, like you said, just love them. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to go say, they're going to be killed. It could be that that's not even, like I'm telling my story today. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. I knew something was going to happen.
And it's kind of like you make it part of your life rather than an event. Like you, the more you do it, and I want to get what your comment was, but you kind of want to get to where this is normal. The healing is normal because that's how God's kingdom should look like. That's kind of what we're aiming at. Now, Maria, you were going to make a comment. Right.
We just fail to see it.
Yes.
So when, you know, I walk, I try to envision myself walking with a window above me that is open.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes away, like, your apprehension. Because when you truly have that communication, right, up and down, just like
mm-hmm.
it go up and down, then it's not you trying to figure out, are you doing healing, do this. It just happens. It's just the way, that's normal. That's
yep.
the normal way we should be.
Yes.
And so it takes all that pressure off. And it's not about performing a miracle or a sign, or it's about asking the Lord, you know, how can I bring heaven to this particular person today?
Mm-hmm.
And it just happens.
Yep. Very good. Thank you, guys. So we've covered that God works through people. That's a major principle. Second major principle, God works through flawed people, right? Which to me, that is one of the biggest. So the way I teach healing, a lot of it, is to try to destroy all of the roadblocks. Okay? And then when you're through, when all of them are out of the way, you're just left with the will of God, which is that God wants to use you to heal tons of people. That's what you end up with. And that you're not trying to talk him into it. He wanted to do that before you found out about it. And then through religion or through our own thinking, we come up with these reasons why it won't work, right? They don't have faith, or they have too much sin, or I have too much sin, or whatever, or I'm not ready, or I haven't read enough books. And all that is just slowing you down. Learning is great, and sin, avoiding sin is also a very good idea, okay? But don't let that be the thing that stops you from going for it. Because you're not going to... There's things you're not going to learn until you just step out and do it. And you're going to make mistakes, and you still get to go to heaven. You're not disqualified and put on the bench when you do it wrong. Hallelujah. As evidenced by Abraham lying about his wife and then getting to do the first healing. Okay. Another principle I want to bring out of this story. At the time that this story happened, Abraham prayed, and there were women that were unable to have children, and now they're able to have children. Remember that? It said that in the story? But at this point in Abraham and Sarah's life, they still are not able to have children. And they want to have children, and they can't. Okay? So they are wanting to have children, and they're not able to. And then God has Abraham pray for people that are unable to conceive, and now they can conceive. And the principle here is that you don't have to be completely healed from everything before you pray for people. You can be having your own problems, but that doesn't mean you're disqualified. Did you want to say something on that? You look happy. I love that one.
I am believing God for healing of insulin-dependent diabetes myself. And yet, God allows me to pray for other people and see them healed.
How about that? I don't think I should have to wear glasses. I don't think I should have to, and I pray for my own eyes a lot. But that doesn't mean I can't pray for other people. I've seen people's leg grow out. I've seen someone get healed from cataracts. We saw somebody come out of a coma who was missing a third of their skull. And I'm still praying for my own eyesight. So don't get caught up in you haven't got your own healing yet, therefore you can't go out and do it. Any questions on that before I move on? I know sometimes there's a lot of things that we believe that are wrong that hold us back. And that's one of them.
What about people who get prayed over again and again and don't get healed? I mean, what do you say about that? You know, if you say that God wants to heal people, well, there's some people that do not get healed. No.
That's true.
How much they pray or how much they're prayed over.
Right. That's true.
So, and would you say that God doesn't want healing necessarily?
I would not say that.
Okay.
Because, see, I another thing I see, studying healing makes you touch a lot of areas. Like it makes you touch salvation and righteousness, like the things we're talking about in here tonight. Well, one of the things I had to come to grips with, I came from a background that said God's will always happened. And that's not true. There's a bunch of factors that affect healing. Now, I need to take some time on this because I just can't make a statement like that. So let me say what I mean by that. God did not want Abraham to lie about his wife. Is that true? But he did it anyway, so God's will didn't happen right there. Let me pick a more obvious one. Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Is that God's will? Is it God's will for every person to love their neighbor as themselves all the time?
Yes.
Does that always happen?
No.
Does that ever happen? Is a better question. That hardly ever happens. It happens sometimes. But anytime someone is not loving their neighbor as God, as they love themselves, then God's will is not being displayed. Right? Anytime somebody sins, God's will is not happening. Right? God doesn't want anybody to sin. If he says what his will is, don't sin, then that's his will. Right? Like that's how he expresses his will, by telling us what it is. Murder is not God's will, but murder still happens. Adultery is not God's will. Right? And so, not everything, you can't look at what's going on and say that's God's will. Because not everybody's doing God's will. People are making bad choices.
But it is God's will that we have free choice. That we have.
That is his will.
Free will.
Yes.
Okay. And inside of free will, what's also in operation is the Adam nature.
Yes.
So I don't know that characterizing it as God's will, because of, I don't know if that's the right way to characterize it. I'm tripping on that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
let me try to say this a different way. There are things that God wants to happen because of his character. And those things are good, not evil. God does not want abortion. Right? Let me pick, I just want to be graphic. God does not want Auschwitz. Right? God does not want human trafficking. Okay? That's not his will. So we can't look at that and say, well, it must be God's will. Because we know it's not, because he is against that. So you can't look at things that are happening and make that tell you what God's will is. You have to have the Bible tell you what God's will is. And if it's not matching the Bible, then it's not God's will. That's what I'm saying. And so when I pray for someone and I don't see them get healed, Jesus always healed everybody. So I don't have the right to jump to a conclusion unless God tells me something I don't know about. So what I would say is, I know God wants you to be well, and I don't know the answer here. And that's very uncomfortable.
Okay.
But I don't want to lie to them and say God wants you to be sick.
Right?
Because that, to me, that's not doing any favors for their relationship with God. Now, if God gives me some information that I've been trying to heal them and they won't quit doing whatever they're doing that's causing the problem.
So it's not like a faith on your part?
See, there are so many things that can affect it, okay? And I don't know the answer to all of them, right? And I don't like that, but that's just how it is. And there's so many factors that affect what you see when you're praying for healing. Okay? But what I believe is that I don't have to think that God's will is a variable anymore. You see what I'm saying? Let me give another example. So in either 1st or 2nd Timothy, Paul is writing a letter to Timothy. And he's giving him instructions on how to manage the people he's pastoring, if you want to say it that way. And he's giving them lots of advice. And stuck in the middle there, he says, and take a little wine for your frequent illnesses so you won't have stomach problems anymore, instead of just drinking water. Okay? And I've heard before people say, see there, God's will is not always healing. Because why didn't he heal Timothy's stomach? Anybody ever heard that? When you talk about healing, somebody's always going to say, what about Timothy's stomach and what about Paul's thorn? Okay? Paul is telling Timothy how to not be sick, which shows God doesn't want him to be sick. But if he keeps drinking dirty water and getting dysentery, then what is just a cycle? So sometimes there's practical direction that the person has to follow. Like if you've been healed from lung cancer and God says don't smoke anymore, well, if you go back and start smoking and you get lung cancer again, that doesn't mean it wasn't God's will to be healed. Right? And I'm not saying any, I'm just trying to give some examples where you can make choices that affect the outcome that are not God's will. Right? And that, you can't blame that on God. You can't blame a result that's the opposite of his revealed character. You can't blame that on him. If he tells you, don't do that, and you do it anyway, then that's not his fault. I'm saying the same thing like 15 different ways, but hopefully that's clear by now. Yes?
I didn't know if you had known Becca. She was a very good friend of mine. She's at the church. Becca Brennan. She died.
Okay.
And she suffered for about 2 years with ovarian cancer.
Okay.
And she was very religious. A wonderful girl. And at the end, I hate to say this, but I prayed with her for healing. But she had these two, everything. Unbelievable. But I prayed that God would take her because she was suffering so.
Right.
And she was able to see her parents one time. They were able to fly in on a Friday or whatever it was, and she died the next morning. And it just was unbelievable. But I was relieved.
Right. I mean, I understand that.
Thank God for taking her.
Yes.
She's a very religious young lady.
And so let me clarify, make sure I'm not misunderstood on something. So I just don't want anything I said to be taken the wrong way. I am not putting the responsibility for being sick on the people. Okay? Or trying to put guilt on somebody. If they're not getting healed, it's their fault. That is the opposite of what I'm saying. Okay? I'm saying sometimes that can be one of the factors that someone is not following directions that God has given them over and over. That is possible. Right? I'm not saying, I won't say that blanket. Sometimes, see, healing is a war and we have an enemy. Right? We have an enemy who's actively trying to resist God's power. And so that's another, there's lots of factors, okay? But I do not want to be misunderstood. I'm not blaming sickness on people's sinfulness at all, okay? Right. The last point I want to make out of this story, Abraham prayed, and the women are no longer barren, and then they have to have relations and then conceive before they realize they're healed. Right? Just that's how Mother Nature works. And so sometimes the healing happens over time or you don't know it for a while. Okay? Like, there's one time when there was 10 lepers that came to Jesus, and Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, and that was how they were going to get healed. And it said they were healed as they went. Right? Everybody?
Yep.
So sometimes the healing happens sometime later. We don't always see it right in front of us. And I don't like those as much. I like to see it. But I like them. My favorite is you see it happen. But there have been times where I've prayed for someone. I'll just give this one story. I met an old friend at Harris Teeter, and she was walking to her car, and I just said, "Hey, I haven't seen you in a long time." And she started telling me how she had a bone spur in her foot. And she used to love to run, and she can't, and she had surgery, and it didn't ever get healed right. So I asked if I could pray for her foot. And so I prayed for her foot in the parking lot a couple of times, and she never could tell any change in the symptoms. And so I just said, "Well, you know, God loves you. I don't know what's going on here." And I left it at that. About 6 months later, I run into her husband. Hadn't seen him in a long time. "Hey, man, how's your wife?" "Great, man. After you prayed for her, her foot's healed. She's running, doing mud runs. Tough mudder." But I would have never known that. And I've had that kind of thing happen multiple times. And so that's why I have stopped saying they didn't get healed. The way I say it now is I didn't see anything happen. But I believe something happens every time, just like Susan said. Anytime we speak for God according to His will, I believe something happens, even if I can't see it. Okay? Jason.
I've got a really short story on that. That's
okay.
Way shorter than that. I think I brought this up almost a year ago, 2 years ago. All right. So I'm a singer-songwriter, rock, blues musician, actor, all that stuff. So I've played a lot of gigs, especially last year with my band. And we have a blues artist friend of mine who came out from Utah, and he was doing a tour on the East Coast. And he called me and he said, "You know, can we do some shows together?" I said, "Yeah, sure." So after the show, we played in Raleigh. We did a double billing. We had the band, because they were in their bus, they came over to our house. We let them, you know, use our facility, the house, take showers, we cook for them and everything. And I'm just laughing because this kills like three birds with one stone with everything we're talking about tonight. So he sat there and got drunk probably a month before. He's not a Christian. I think some of them are Mormon. And he sat there and got drunk like a month prior to this and fell, blacked out, fell, hit his cheek down on the curb. And when he woke up the next day, his whole face was totally numb and he had nerve damage. And he was complaining about this when we were at the house and we were having breakfast, and they had to hit the road because they were going to South Carolina or wherever the next day's destination was. I said, "Hey, you know, man, can we pray for you? Because, you know, we just believe that God heals. We've seen God heal, so can we give it a go?" They said, "Sure." So I prayed for him.
His whole band was there.
Whole band's there watching, like you know, like making it really like, whoa, you know. So let's see something happen here.
And not only let me just mention that not only did Jason pray for healing, but he went through the entire, what was that walk that you and your father took, having people pull to Jesus when they were dead?
The Romans Road?
Well, it was similar to that.
Okay.
No, I was just probably explaining
stuff.
Okay, so you're preaching the gospel while you're healing the sick. Okay.
The whole shebang. So it's like, you know, whatever. Because they got to go, and I'm trying to get this in like five minutes. So I pray. Nothing. You know, if your pain was a 10, where's it at now? Zero would be no pain.
Well, numbness.
Or numbness.
The opposite.
The problem, yeah. Nothing. Still 10 of not being able to feel. Okay, pray again. Nothing. Pray again. Nothing. Pray again. It was probably, what, 5, 6, 7 times?
And they're all like...
Nothing. They're all staring there. I go, "All right, well, you guys are going to South Carolina then. You know, that's all I've got." So, that's it. So we get a text 3 months later. "Hey, man, just wanted to let you know that..." No, it was like 2 or 3 months. "Hey, man, I just want to let you know that I'm totally healed. I just woke up and it's gone. Like, I can feel everything."
And by the way, he said, "I think it's time for me to stop drinking."
Yeah.
I'm engaged, and so he married the girl, and they had a baby.
they have they got a great marriage and they're happy, they're expecting everything else.
It changed his life too.
But that's a perfect example of not being qualified. And I have an even better story that we'll get into. But not being qualified, doing the wrong thing, not even knowing what you're doing, and then just the powers that be, which is just God and the Holy Ghost. Like Bill Alsop says, the timing, purpose and timing coming together for somebody to have an experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know why I waited 3 months. I have no idea. But you can't ask questions. You get to a point where you can't ask questions like that anymore.
And then the other Mormon fella, I forgot what he played.
Drums, I think. Drummer.
It's like, yeah, my parents, they really pushed that on us, you know, the Mormon faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't say anything negative about the faith.
Right.
I didn't feel like God was really leading me that way. I just said, parents really love you. And that's the way of showing them.
But see, you know that guy remembered that because he texted you. When it got healed, he knew what happened.
I mean,
that's great.
And he probably
was. Okay. So, anybody have any questions from Genesis 20 and the first healing in the Bible? Or any of the things that came up out of that chapter? Or comments? Any other comments or questions? Okay, well, I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to have ministry time for whoever's available, okay? So, Father, I just thank you for your word and all the gold and precious stones that we find in there when we dig in. And, Lord, I thank you that healing is your will. I thank you that you do it through people, and you do it through flawed people. And, Lord, I just pray for everyone in here that this just becomes more and more clear to us. And that any hindrances get broken off. Anything that's keeping us from seeing the truth, get moved out of the way. And Lord, my prayer above everything is that everybody sees your character more clearly. That they get a clear picture of how you really are. And Lord, I speak blessing over each one in here. I speak blessing over their mind. I speak blessing over their emotions, blessing over their body. Just bless their relationships. Just bless their finances. I just speak blessing over your children, Lord. And Holy Spirit, as we begin to have ministry time, we just welcome your presence and your direction. That we can cooperate and see your will come to pass. Father, we thank you for all these things, and we love you, and thank you that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.